Get ready, Cyclone Nation.
Down and Iowa State wins it.
3-point jumper right side, good.
Throws, caught, Petway, touchdown.
Shayok delivers a tough jumper.
And buries it, a three from the right corner.
Fire up the band.
Are you kidding me?
This is the Cyclone Insider on the Morning Kickstart with the voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, John Walters.
Now time for our Cyclone Insider on Iowa's Best Country, Kix 101.1, with the voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, John Walters. John, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, Brandon?
I am doing great, thanks. I was able to get to the game. I was so excited. It was a packed house on Saturday, and then, unfortunately, Iowa State lost. But it was a good game, 34-27, the final score for the Iowa State Cyclones against the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who, as you know, John, they're never an easy out or never an easy win in the Big 12.
No, that's something I think that's really important that people remember. I mean, they've had 13 consecutive winning seasons. Mike Gundy is a tremendous coach. Mm-hmm. And I had a real uneasy feeling about the game. Not that I thought that Iowa State was going to lose. I still thought they'd probably win it. But I knew they were going to get pushed. I knew you were going to take Oklahoma State's best shot because they had lost two in a row. And he's too good of a coach and has been there too long to not circle the wagons, and they have plenty of talent. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the thing. They have good players. And so, you know, this is a program that won 10 games in a row for three straight years, took a little dip back last season, and then had started this season pretty well before taking another little dip. And I just was concerned that Iowa State was definitely going to face their best shot, and I think they did. And Oklahoma State's credit, they figured out a way to win the game in the end. And, you know, tough loss for Iowa State, but I still think a pretty good Oklahoma State football team that has a lot of pride in its program and a veteran coach that wasn't just going to come in and roll over. Not that I think Iowa State expected them to. But, you know, I think Oklahoma State did a very good job of getting Iowa State out of its comfort zone and trying to make them do some things that they don't normally do.
Typically, all season, we've seen the defense hold tight, especially in the second half. You look back to the Baylor game, the defense really helped Iowa State get them back into that game. That was one thing that never really happened, it seemed to me, against Oklahoma State. I don't know what your thoughts were on that, but it seemed like the defense just wasn't able to get on track, but offensive turnovers didn't help them get on track either.
Yeah, I think in the first half, the defense really struggled, but they played pretty well in the second half. Oklahoma State didn't score a touchdown offensively in the second half. They just had the pick six for their only touchdown. And so I think the Iowa State defense got better as the game went on. They weren't perfect, but I think they did get better. But they gave up those three big plays, you know, 50 yards or longer for touchdowns in the first half. Oklahoma State never ran a play in Iowa State territory in the first half, but they had three touchdowns, all long plays. And so uncharacteristic for an Iowa State defense because this John Haycock's defense is, you know, in the last 3 years, have really hung their hat on, you're going to have to earn your way down the field. You are not going to be given anything. You know, you are going to have to put together a 10, 12, 13-play drive, cap it off with a really good play in the red zone, and that's not what happened on those three plays, missed tackles. And, you know, I think a little bit of it is that Greg Eisworth's hurt. Certainly he flew up and made the first hit on Tylan Wallace about 2 yards into that play, and nine times out of ten, if Greg Eisworth is healthy, he's making that tackle. We've seen him do it all season, but he couldn't even wrap up. He just kind of hit him, and Wallace bounced off it and went in for a touchdown, and that was the last play of the game for Eisworth because he re-injured his shoulder a little bit. Hmm. And so, you know, I think a healthy Greg Eisworth would have maybe prevented some of those big plays from being so big. Iowa State, if they can just get a guy out of bounds or whatever, they probably can tighten the screws a little bit, maybe hold him to a field goal. But, hey, a lot of ifs and could-haves and should-haves. But credit Oklahoma State, too. They're a big-play team. They have big-play makers. They have the best running back in the Big 12. They have arguably the best receiver in the Big 12, and those are the guys that are making the plays.
Yeah, for sure. Now Iowa State enjoys a bye week to get themselves ready for Oklahoma. Obviously, that game looks a little different on the schedule now with a one-loss Oklahoma squad, but I'm sure they'll use the bye week to get themselves ready for that big game, which has been put at 7 o'clock on Fox and primetime game for the Iowa State Cyclones.
Yeah, I think both teams smarting after a loss. Mm-hmm. You know, not many people saw it coming. Both teams are in the same boat as far as that goes. Now, Oklahoma, obviously, losing an opportunity to probably play in the national championship game becomes a bigger deal. However, you know, Iowa State certainly had a lot to play for last week, too. And to lose, I think both teams ought to come into this one ticked off a little bit, you know, and trying to right the ship. And so I'm really fascinated about what's going to happen a week from Saturday. I think it'll be a really good game. Iowa State went in there and won 2 years ago when they were 33-point underdogs. Obviously, the times have changed since that game. That was really the start of what's really happened under Matt Campbell. That was the very beginning of it. And it's been a lot of really good times since then in the Iowa State program. And obviously, Oklahoma's not going to be caught by surprise by Iowa State this time around. They know that they're going to be in for a fight. And I'm excited to see how it all plays out. I think Iowa State will play well, but I think Oklahoma will too. And Oklahoma's a very good team, so Iowa State might have to play exceptionally well to win that game. But I think they can put themselves in a position to do that.
So, with that said, and Iowa State's on a bye week, you get yourself a little bit of time to practice up and get ready and do your research for Mississippi Valley State. It's the Iowa State basketball season. It's starting off on Tuesday night. They'll be at home at 7 o'clock, and you can hear the game right here on Kix 101.1. If there's one thing, John, that you can point to that you've seen from Iowa State, maybe in practice or just talking to the coaches, what's one big thing that might be improved from last year's squad that, you know, obviously had higher expectations?
I think the thing that might be improved is the defensive end of the floor. Iowa State right now is experimenting with the idea of playing two bigs in their starting lineup with Solomon Young and Michael Jacobson, and then George Condon coming off the bench to relieve those two guys. That could be a pretty healthy 1-2-3 punch inside. And then I like the perimeter defense because Rajir Bolton, now eligible to transfer from Penn State, Prentice Nixon, the transfer from Colorado State, are both really good on-the-ball defenders out on that perimeter. And so when you combine those two with Tyrese Halliburton, who now can play that kind of that free safety spot and just use that length to go create some steals and get into some passing lanes and trigger some fast breaks, I think this could be a pretty decent team defensively. And I think they're going to have to be if they're going to be successful because, you know, there's three guys that were the three leading scorers off last year's teams that are all on NBA rosters, or at least getting NBA money. Bill Wiginton, Mariel Shayok, and Taylen Horton Tucker. And so, you know, those are your three leading scorers, three guys that hunted their shot. You know, this is going to have a different team chemistry. You're not going to have maybe quite as much individual play. I think you're going to have to score as a team with good, solid passing and ball movement and person movement. And then defensively, you know, can they be tougher on that end and be a really good rebounding team by going big with those two bigs? If they can, I think they could be very, very competitive in the Big 12 and be a bubble team in the NCAA tournament, maybe right in the middle of the pack in the Big 12 standings. And if they can't do those things, then, you know, they'll probably end up about where they were picked by the media, which is seventh of the coaches, I guess, the ones that do the poll, and they picked Iowa State seventh. So we'll see. I think the ceiling's a little higher for this team than maybe the coaches do. But, you know, as the saying goes in football, prove it. And that's what they're
going
to have to do.
Yeah, that's sure. You got to show up and take care of business. Well, we'll be listening Tuesday night, and we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks, John.
Yep, thanks, Brandon. Have a good day.
Yep, you too.
Cyclone Insider with John Walters, every Thursday morning at 8:30 on the Morning Kickstart. Covering Cyclone territory, Iowa's best country, Kix 101.1.